I would like now to hand over to Mr. David Wichnell, a principal and co-founder of the Tetragon Financial Group. Please begin with your meeting, and I'll be standing by.
Thank you, Madden. As one of the principals of the investment manager of Tetragon Financial Group Limited, I'd like to welcome you today to our investor call. We will focus on certain IRR modeling assumption changes, the establishment of a new balance sheet reserve, and certain December 2008 results, as well as provide color on the Q4 dividend guidance. Phil Bland, our CFO, will report on each of these items. I would note that TFG is scheduled to publish full fourth quarter and full year results and our annual report on or about February 27th of this year, and we will have another investor call at that time. I'd also point out that additional information on the assumption changes, the balance sheet reserve, and certain December results can be found in the announcements released today that are available on TFG's website, tetragoninv.com. I'd like to also remind everyone that the following contains forward-looking comments, including statements regarding the intentions, beliefs, or current expectations concerning performance and financial conditions on the products and markets in which Tetragon invests. Our performance may change materially as a result of various possible events or factors. With that, I'll turn it over to Phil.
Thanks so much, David, and can I have my own welcome to David. As he's already mentioned, the focus of the call is really to cover the changes that we made to our modeling assumptions for the December 2008 valuation, to outline a new accelerated loss reserve that we've introduced, and to touch on how this has impacted some of our key metrics. So firstly, let's look at the modeling assumptions. As we've reported in the past, as the investment manager, we continually review and adjust as appropriate the investment portfolio's IRR modeling assumptions, focusing on the latest available information, on historic performance, and on both current and expected market developments. In Q4 2008, we saw some dramatic market events which prompted us to make significant adjustments to certain assumptions. Before I outline those changes themselves, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the market developments in a bit more detail. The fourth quarter of 2008 was characterized by a marked deterioration in the global economic outlook, as demonstrated by, among other things, poor employment reports, declining corporate earnings, increased bankruptcies, and rising defaults, the sort of thing we all see every day reading the press and on the TV. Furthermore, the default outlook by various market participants, including the ratings agencies, became increasingly negative with an associated significant increase in downgrades and credits rated CCC or below. And much of this deterioration came through clearly in December 2008's reports. It's the potential impact of those developments that's prompted us to change the forward-looking assumptions we use to model our portfolio IRRs, as opposed to the actual impact of those developments on our underlying collateral, which has generally only recently begun to reveal itself. As one point of reference for the actual impact on the underlying collateral asset classes that TFG invests in, at the end of 2008, the lagging 12-month institutional loan default rate per S&P increased to 3.75% by principal amount, up from 0.24% during 2007. And by comparison, our own lagging 12-month corporate loan default rate was 2.81%, so that's comparing to the 3.75, and that's approximately 25% below the S&P benchmark. So I'd now like to turn to the changes that we've made to our certain modeling assumptions. All of the changes that I'll detail here are with respect to the underlying collateral held by the deals that TFG has invested in. And all the changes have been made for the three-year period 2009 to 2011. For the period beyond 2011, we've maintained our original modeling assumptions. So firstly, defaults. We've increased the assumed constant annual default rate to approximately 6.4%, which is three times our original base case WARF-implied default rate. And this three times recalibration was influenced by the year-end reports from the credit rating agencies. Secondly, we've reduced our assumed recovery rate to approximately 55% or 80% of our original base case assumed weighted average recovery rate. Again, that's for the next 3 years. And after that, we're going to return to a 71% level until maturity of the deals. Thirdly, we've reduced our assumed loan prepayment rate to 7.5% for the next 3 years, followed by return to the 20% per annum rate, which is our default. We also continue to assume a 0% prepayment rate for bonds throughout the life of the transactions. And fourthly, we've reduced the assumed reinvestment price to 87%, a level that generates an effective spread over LIBOR of approximately 735 basis points on broadly US syndicated loans, 745 basis points on European loans, and just over 800 basis points on middle market loans. Before I run through the impact of these changes on some of our key metrics, I want to outline a new balance sheet reserve we've established to address in particular the potential impact of certain losses hitting weaker deals within the portfolio, and this we're calling an accelerated loss reserve. This reserve is calculated on a deal-by-deal basis, as indeed our IRRs are, and it's against potential losses arising from, among other things, rating agency downgrades to our investments underlying collateral. We believe that negative loan migration, specifically migration to CAA1 or CCC plus or below, may place pressure on the performance of our deals. And should assets rated at those low levels breach predefined limits in TFG's investments, it may temporarily cause cash diversion away from CLO equity tranches and into reinvestment into new collateral. And if this is significant enough, it could cause potential deleveraging of the CLO investments. So we think it's appropriate to address the impact of that negative loan migration and other potential unrealized losses may have on the fair value of our investments through the establishment of this new reserve. Having described some of the rationale and logic for the changes, let's turn to the impact of those changes and the reserve itself. The impact of amending the assumptions and introducing the new reserve has been to reduce both the 2008 year-end fair value of our investments and the weighted average IRR. Taking the assumption changes first, the impact of the four assumption changes I mentioned before was to reduce the December weighted average IRR by around 2% and the estimated fair value of the portfolio by approximately $59 million. After giving effect to those assumption changes and reflecting other relevant inputs, the weighted average IRR ended the year at 13.8% compared to 16.1% for November 2008. In addition, the accelerated loss reserve reduces our estimated fair value by a further $141 million. So taken in the aggregate, those two changes impact our fair value by approximately $200 million. As a result of this, combined with the normal month-end valuation processes, the year-end NAV per share for Tetragon therefore stands at $9.06 per share. As David mentioned, further information on the assumption changes, on the new accelerated loss reserve, and certain elements of our December result can be found on Tetragon's website, and our annual report will be coming later in the year. And with that, I'll turn back to David.
Thank you, Phil. Once again, we appreciate the importance of regularly updating our investors on the performance of TNG and its investments and hope this call was successful in explaining to you recent developments in that regard. Again, we plan to report and discuss full results in late February. In the interim, as always, please do not hesitate to contact us with any questions. We look forward to speaking with you in the future.